Let's just commence with a word of prayer. Let's seek for God's help and for His presence with us tonight. Heavenly Father, we come into Thy holy presence and through our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll come and be one of our number. We ask, O God, that You'll move in this place tonight. We ask, O God, for help from heaven. Help us, Lord, to worship Thee, Lord, as we ought. We pray, Lord, that all our hearts and minds and our attention tonight will be turned to Christ. So bless us, we pray. Do our hearts good. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence with the singing of the words of 334. It was down at the feet of Jesus. So the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's unite our hearts together again, please. A word of prayer. We'd ask for His help and His presence with us tonight. Heavenly Father, we come into Thy holy presence tonight because of, Lord, that place called Calvary. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we stand on redemption ground. We praise Thee, Lord, this evening for the merits that we have before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for the acceptance that we have before Thee. It's all because of Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We thank Thee, Lord, that there on the cross He died that we might live. We praise Thee, Lord, this evening that we have something to sing and to shout about. We thank Thee, Lord, for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank Thee, O God, tonight that Jesus saves. And, O God, we pray that tonight in this world of so much darkness and so much despair, Lord, where there is so much bad news, Lord, we pray that tonight even the good news of the gospel will come and speak to hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll speak into the hearts, Lord, of those in this meeting out of Christ. Lord, that You'll take a dealing with them. Lord, that by Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, You will take control of this meeting. And Lord, that this night You will be pleased to do that work of salvation in some heart tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that someone who has come into this place out of Christ, may they go away that new creature in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll turn hearts and lives around. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll come and work in hearts, work in lives, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night you will change, Lord, the darkest of sinners into the greatest of saints. Lord, we praise thee for the wonder-working power of the blood. And Lord, apply the blood to this meeting tonight. Apply the blood to our hearts, we ask. And Heavenly Father, we pray that in this place, Lord, a highway will be made for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. Our Father, we thank thee for your goodness. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy toward us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night you'll come. Lord, brood over this place, we pray. May we, Lord, sense and, Lord, know that thou art here and not to bless us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless every part of this meeting. Remember, Natasha should come and minister to us in song. Just give her that help that she needs, we pray. Lord, encourage her and bless her. And Lord, we pray for the preaching of the Word of God. We need thee tonight. And Heavenly Father, we pray that all our hearts and minds, Lord, will be turned to behold the Lamb of God. Remember, Lord, our city. Remember, Lord, our country tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee for that move of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe upon us, O God, we pray. Turn back, Lord, the powers of sin and Satan, and raise, Lord, that standard for truth and for righteousness once again. And so, our Father, we look to thee. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for your mercy. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for thy grace. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight the grace of God will find out some sinner. And Lord, the grace of God will bring them into the fold of God. So Lord, be with us. Continue, Lord, your blessing upon us and help us tonight. And Lord, we pray that through everything that would be said and done in this place, through everything that would take place, may thy name, the name of our great Savior, be high and lifted up. So hear and answer prayer and be with us tonight. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Delighted to welcome our sister Natasha back with us again. You're very welcome. And Dale and the girls, we're always glad to have you. We're going to ask you to come and sing for us just now, please. Thank you, Natasha.
His life is all about why you're here and where you're going when your lease of life runs out. Maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me ask you kindly, have you thought about your soul? You may reach your highest portals, and your dreams may all come true. Wealth and fame may be your portion, and success may shine on you. All your friends may sing your praises, not a care on you may roll. What about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? If you've never thought it over, spend a little time today. There is nothing more important that will ever come your way. Joy of sins forgiven, and to know you've been made whole. In the name of Christ our Savior, will you think about your soul?
What a question to be left with us tonight. Have you thought about your soul? No greater concern should you have than that of your eternal soul, your never dying soul. And I pray that tonight, even as Natasha has brought those messages and song to us, that you will think tonight and think about your soul and where you'll be in God's eternity. Natasha, thank you so much for your ministry and song. Certainly blessed again by it, and we'll hear from you in a short time. Can I ask you please to turn with me for our scripture reading tonight to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3. We come to very familiar territory tonight as we come to this third chapter of John, probably the most well-known chapter in the whole of Scripture. We want to look at this chapter tonight. We want to look at the subject of a man on a mission. But let's read together these words. They are familiar, but don't allow that familiarity to just sweep over us. Every time we come to the Word of God, no matter how familiar a passage may be, there's always something for us. So let's read John chapter 3, and we'll read down to the end of verse 16. John chapter 3 and the verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi,
We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of this familiar passage to all of our hearts. Good to see you this evening in the house of God, and we welcome you in the Savior's name. And to those who are visiting with us, we welcome you as well. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. We welcome you all. To those as well who are joining us online through our broadcast, we welcome you tonight as part of our congregation as well. Can I just remind you of the announcements for the week that lies before us? On Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we have our Explorers Bible Club for the boys and girls here in the church. Then on Thursday night, we'll have a deputation meeting, and our sister, Miss Joanne Greer, will be along on Thursday night to tell of her work in Liberia. And so do come and support Joanne. Please do remember that. Come and support Joanne on Thursday night. These missionaries come home, and they need our support. And one of the best ways you can do that is by being here and encouraging them by your presence. And there'll also be an opportunity for you to give a practical offering as well on Thursday night. Then on Friday night, our youth fellowship meets here in the church at 8 o'clock. Also on Friday night, that'll be our monthly men's prayer meeting, again in the church at 8 p.m. on Friday night. All the services at the normal times of 10:15, Sunday school and Bible class, 11:30, our morning service, worship service, preceded by the season of prayer, Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30, and then our gospel service, which is also preceded by the season of prayer, gospel service at 6:30. God willing, I'll be here to preach, and our sister Joanna McCammon will be here to sing next Sunday evening. Do remember those that we've asked you to pray for especially. Do remember Jennifer Newbury at this time. Remember Maureen as well, Maureen Ewing, who needs our prayers as she goes for her operation this coming Friday. And do remember them in your prayers. There are still copies of the magazines, Let the Bible Speak, Vision Magazine, and still a few copies of our own church magazine available. Do take these with you if you haven't already received them. You will know we're not taking up any offerings at this stage, but the boxes are there as you leave for your offerings and for your tithes. I'm going to ask Natasha if she'll come and sing for us again. And as you come, the Lord bless you as you come and sing for us. Thank you.
See him in Jerusalem. such a frail and lonely man, holding up the heavy cross. See him walking in Jerusalem on the road to save them. See him there upon the hill, hear the scorn and laughter, silent as a lamb he waits, praying to the Father. See the King who made the sun, so that he could save them. See him there upon the cross, now no longer breathing, dust that formed the watching crowds takes the of Jesus. Feel the earth is shaking now. See the veil is split in two. And he stood before the wrath of God, shielding sinners with his blood. See the empty tomb today, death could not contain him. Once the servant of the world, now in victory reigning. Lift your voices to
again, we want to thank Natasha for coming and for her help in the meeting tonight. Certainly being blessed and encouraged by her messages in song. I want you to turn with me again this evening to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll be looking at various verses throughout this chapter as we consider the subject tonight of a man on a mission. But let me leave with you just the words that we find in verse number 2, John chapter 3 and the verse 2, referring to Nicodemus, it says, the same came to Jesus by night. The same came to Jesus by night. Perhaps we could stand, please, just for a word of prayer to change your position. If you can, we'll stand before we come to the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for those messages and song that have been brought to us. We thank the Lord for help given to Natasha. She's ministered to us. Encourage her and bless her. We pray this deal and the family, just surround them with thy love and bless Natasha. She would continue, Lord, to minister in this way.
Lord God, we pray now as we come to the Word of God that you'll just come and be our aid and help us, O God, tonight to, Lord, plainly preach the gospel of saving grace, to plainly present to men and women Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight there might be someone in this place seeking after Christ, running, and Lord, that they, like Nicodemus, may come to Jesus by night. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. Give us help to preach and help to hear. May the Spirit of the Lord convict of sin, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You be seated. It was in 1961 that the then President, President JFK, stated that he had a very bold ambition, and that was that he wanted to land man on the moon. He then tasked the space agency NASA with this mission of putting man on the moon. And so after years of planning, Apollo 11 blasted off in July 1969 with the mission to land man on the moon. On board that space shuttle, there were three astronauts: Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins. And it was their mission to step foot on the moon. And 4 days later, it was Neil Armstrong who was the first to see this mission accomplished, when he was the first human ever to step on the moon. He was a man on a mission. And that dream became a reality. Man walked on the moon. But tonight, I want us to think of another man on an entirely different mission. This man's name is Nicodemus. His mission was not to go to outer space, but his mission was to come to Christ. He wanted to meet with Christ and speak to him concerning the matters of eternal life. You see, Nicodemus had heard of the things that Christ had done. He had seen the miracles that the Lord performed, the changes that the gospel had brought through the lives of people, and his curiosity was aroused, and he wanted to find out more. He had many questions to ask. What is this all about? Who is this person anyway? You see, for Nicodemus, he thought that he had nothing more to learn. He was a scholar. He was a ruler of the Jews, as we read there in the opening part of John chapter 3 in the verse number 1. He was a man of learning. He thought he knew it all. He was a man of position, a man of prominence, a man who was upright, a man who was moral, a man who was good living, and really, he was a man who really had reached the pinnacle of success. And yet he realized there was something more. Because as he heard of Christ and as he heard of what was happening, his mind was inquisitive. And we read in verse number 2, he came to Jesus by night. He is a man on a mission. A man to meet Christ, a man to find out more about Christ. And in this gospel meeting tonight, it is my desire, it is my prayer that someone in this meeting tonight, or perhaps even listening online, that tonight you would have that same desire as Nicodemus had, that you might come to Jesus tonight. That you might be on that mission, not to learn more, but rather to save your eternal soul. You see, he came to Christ that night. He came to the only one that he could come to. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus was upright, but he was still far from God. And you might be all of those things. You might be good and a fine, upstanding member of your community, but still be far from God. May you tonight be on that mission to come to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a man who was searching. Searching for something more than he already had. So we want to think about this man on a mission tonight. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the conversation that he had. The conversation that he had. We are allowed to eavesdrop on this conversation that takes place between Nicodemus and the Lord. Nicodemus had come to the Lord to hear what he was about. And we do not know what really was in the mind of Nicodemus when he set out to come to the Lord that night. But I tell you this, Nicodemus that night was to hear some of the greatest words that any man or woman could ever hear. We don't know, perhaps he came to Jesus, perhaps to reason, perhaps to argue, perhaps to discuss, perhaps to debate. But whatever his preconceptions were about the Lord and about the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ left this man in no doubt as to where he stood spiritually. Nicodemus was searching for something. Nicodemus was longing for something. Nicodemus desired something more, and he saw in Christ something which he desired to find out more about. He was a ruler of the Jews, a scholar, an intellect. And yet he realized there was something missing in his life. And perhaps tonight, that just sums up you. Searching, longing, desiring, looking for that something in your life, looking for something to fill that emptiness and that vacuum in your life. But up until this point, you've been looking in the wrong place. A policeman watched a drunk looking for something under a streetlight, and he asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my £10 note. It slipped out of a hole in my pocket." And so they both looked, but they couldn't find it. The policeman turned to him and said, "Well, where did you lose it anyway?" The drunk man said, "Well, it was down that other street." The policeman turned, "Well, why don't you go to the other street?" He said, "Because there are no streetlights there, and I'd never find it there." You see, he was searching for something, but he was searching for it in the wrong place. And you see, every unsaved soul tonight is a searching soul. Because until you come to Jesus, your life will never be satisfied. Until you get right with God, your life will never be complete. Nicodemus was curious, and so he addresses the Lord. Look what he says in verse 2, "Rabbi," or teacher, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." The Holy Spirit had started to work in Nicodemus' life. Why? Because he saw Jesus Christ as something more than just a mere man. "Thou art the Son of God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him." You see, many tonight will say that Jesus was a good man, moral man, an upright man, a good standard to live by. He was all of those things. But he's more than that tonight. You see, this man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, is the one who came from heaven to earth on a mission to save and to redeem your soul. Christ is not a mere teacher or educator tonight. Jesus Christ tonight is the only redeemer of your soul. Many will know something about Christ. Something like Nicodemus, you know, something of the miracles that he did. But let me ask you tonight, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's nothing far more important in this world than knowing Christ as your Savior. And as this conversation continues, Look what the Lord says to him in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's the very first thing that the Lord confronts this man with? His sin. His sin. Because when he says that except a man be born again, he's saying to Nicodemus, you by nature are still a sinner. You're born in sin. And you need to be born again. It is clear from verse number 4 that Nicodemus didn't quite grasp what he was talking about. Nicodemus thought he was talking about physical birth, but he was talking rather about spiritual birth. What does it mean to be born again? We're told today that we should dumb down our evangelical language, that we shouldn't mention terms that are in the scriptures because people don't understand them. Well, here was a man who didn't understand. But did that mean that the Lord Jesus Christ dumbed down his language to this man? No. He says you must be born again. He then went on to explain. You see, by nature we're all born sinners. Before God we're all born in sin. Spiritually and physically. You see, Nicodemus had a real need, just as every sinner does, and that is the need of a change of heart, a transformation, a rebirth. Being born again, speaks of a new start. Speaks of a new life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, confronted him with his sin, but he also confronted Nicodemus with the possibility of a new start. And thank God tonight in the gospel, every sinner is presented with the opportunity of a new start, a new life in Jesus Christ. As far as Nicodemus was concerned, he didn't need this born again. But the Lord told him exactly what he needed. He needed a new start. He needed a new life. The glorious message of the gospel tonight is that if you come to Jesus Christ, he'll give you that new life. He'll give you real life, life with purpose and life with meaning. Tonight, if you were to be born again by the grace of God, he says, I'll blot out all your transgressions, all your sins. You see, I believe that as Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, he was struggling with his past. Oh, he wasn't living in sin, no. But he knew he wasn't living right. And he struggled with it. And when the Lord confronts him with this term of being born again, he struggles all the more. But as this conversation unravels, Jesus Christ is presenting to this man the greatest, greatest news that through me, through Jesus Christ, you can have a new life. The past can be blotted out. Your sins of the past can be forgiven. Oh, it's not the promise of a life with no more difficulties or problems, no, but it's the promise of an eternal life. You see, why did the Lord tell Nicodemus about being born again? Why did the Lord not go on to into some theological lecture with him? Discuss with him the ins and outs of salvation? After all, he was an educated man, Nicodemus. He just went right to the very heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. There's a wonderful lesson there for us in our evangelism. Child of God, you speak to people and you seek to witness to them. They don't know really what you're talking about, and you try to reason with them. Maybe you've met people and they've tried to argue with you, and they think they're winning the argument. You just keep coming back to the gospel. Keep coming back to Christ. Keep saying you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Why did the Lord say, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God? Very simply, because unless you are born again, you'll be lost for all eternity. Unless he were to experience that spiritual birth, his soul would be lost, continue to be lost, and if he were to die as he were, he would go to a lost eternity. That's why the Lord very simply, very plainly says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord says to Nicodemus, unless you be saved, you will never be in heaven. Heaven is a real place. But there's only one way to that real place. And that's through Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Except ye be born again. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever been born again? Yes, you've been born once. Born into sin. But that will bar you from heaven. Unless you are born again, born of the Holy Spirit, you will never be saved. You will never be where Christ is. So there is this conversation that he had. And you know, tonight the Lord desires to speak with sinners. And the Lord desires tonight to speak with you. We see not only the conversation that he had, but I want you to see as well the clarification that he heard. Because we want to come back to this theme of being born again. Because when Nicodemus heard about being born again, he was confused. He couldn't understand it. For him, it was too simple, too plain. There had to be something more. Being born of the Holy Spirit of God, is that it? Is there not some program I have to do? Are there not some studies I need to do? Is that enough? And so the Lord clarifies some things about being born again. You come on down into verse number 6, and verse number 7, and verse number 8. He speaks about the wind, and he compares the working of the Holy Spirit to the workings of the wind. The wind's invisible. We don't understand it. We can't explain it, but we can see the effects of it. The effects of the wind are certainly not invisible. And folks, we cannot understand all the workings of God, how he saves a soul. I can't understand how God can take a sinner such as I was and make me into a child of God. But I know this, it's real, it's true. It's a reality. Because when a God saves a soul, listen, there's a difference. There's a change. You see the effects. Just as you see the effects of the wind when it blows, so you see the effects of the wind of the Holy Spirit when it works in regeneration and changes the life. So again and again in this conversation, the Lord comes back again to this need of being born again, because look what he says now in verse number 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. In other words, don't make light of this. many tonight will make light of salvation. Many tonight will make light of the simplicity of salvation. But thank God tonight for the simplicity, the plainness of salvation. Ye must be born again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye must be born again. There's the necessity of it, the urgency of it. You see, Jesus Christ wasn't saying to Nicodemus, well, it would be a good idea if you were to be born again. It would be a good thing if you were to put that old life behind you and come to the new life in Jesus Christ. But he's not issuing a suggestion here. He's issuing a command. You must be born again. Must be born again because of the blindness of sin. We must be born again because of how sin bounds a sinner to their sin, hopeless and helpless. You see, tonight the new birth is spiritually absolutely essential, because without it you'll miss heaven, and without it you'll perish in hell for all eternity. So the Lord comes again and again to Nicodemus, and he keeps saying, you must be born again. As Nicodemus wanted to take the conversation into the realms of the earthly, into the realms of the natural, the Lord keeps bringing him back to the spiritual, to the supernatural, and he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. And if you remember nothing about this sermon tonight, remember this, you must be born again. It's a reality, but it's a necessity. But more than that, there's an urgency. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, God by His Holy Spirit, is pleading with you, working in your heart and life. The Spirit of God convicting you perhaps tonight of your need to be saved, your need to be right with God, your need to be born again. How you'll respond? What will you do with this call, with this command that the Savior issues? Will you be born again? Or will you continue on in your sin? Will you live in rejection? Will you live in rebellion? Will you die and go to a lost eternity because you have refused to be born again? Tonight, the Savior stands willing to save you. Tonight, the Savior is able to save you. You will but come to Him. Nicodemus continues on his debate. Verse number 9, he says, how can these things be? How can these things be? And notice where the Lord brings Nicodemus to. There's the conversation that he had. There's the clarification that he heard. But as we close tonight, I want us to see the compassion that he needed. Come to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you see where the Lord's bringing Nicodemus to now? He's bringing him to the cross. Oh, Nicodemus would have known the story about the fiery serpent in the wilderness. A ruler of the Jews and a story, and he would have known that story inside out and outside in. How that when that bite of the serpent came upon the people, and God through Moses instructed that fiery serpent to be lifted up upon that pole. And all who would look to that fiery serpent, they would be saved, they would be healed, they would be delivered from death. And the Lord uses that as an illustration and says, you need to look to Christ, the one who was lifted up on the cross for your sin. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And as Nicodemus would have heard that story being recalled to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he would have been able to picture with his mind's eye those, the children of Israel, perishing in the wilderness because of the bite of the serpent. And yet he also would have known about those who looked to the remedy and were healed. And so in this whole conversation now, he is brought to see the compassion of Christ. He is brought to see the Son of God lifted on the cross. Because then he comes to those wonderful words in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Here tonight is why and how a sinner can be born again. Here tonight, how it's possible for you to be saved, your life to be turned around. Because Christ died that you might live. If God had never loved you, you could never be born again. You could never be saved. There'd be no gospel. There'd be no good news to tell. If it were not for the love of God, you or I would be not here. But tonight, there is one who loved you. There's a Father who loved you so much that he sent his Son to the cross to die for you, that you might be saved. You see, God's love is not just in words, it was in action. God gave. God gave. He gave his only Son to die on the cross. Why? That ye might be born again, that your past might be blotted out, that your past would be forgiven. Christ brings this man to Calvary. We need to always come to Calvary in our preaching and in our speaking about the gospel, because that's where the good news centers on, Calvary. Tonight there is a God in heaven who loves you, desires to save you, able and willing to turn your life around, to give you this new life. God sent not his Son, verse 17, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What glorious words tonight. What a glorious message tonight. Christ didn't come into this world to condemn you. Your sin already condemns you. But that through Christ you might be saved. He came the first time to see you. He ascended back to heaven. And he's coming again. But he's not coming this time to see if he's coming this time to judge. And in between the two comings of Christ, there is the day of grace. There is that opportunity for you to be born again. There is that opportunity for you tonight to get right with God, to be saved from your sin and have the problem of sin dealt with, to bring the burden of your sin to the cross, because there burdens are lifted. It's at the cross where Jesus Christ makes men and women new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, yes, to fulfill all the prophecies of the Old Testament, but he came into this world to save you from sin. He came into this world for upright people like Nicodemus, He came into this world to save those who are down and out in sin. Because it matters not who we are tonight. He is able to save to the uttermost. As an old lady in our prayer meetings in Oma used to pray, thank God for the one who saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. This is our Savior tonight. This is the gospel tonight. The one who can take you out of the gutters of sin, bring you into new life in Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight, will you take God at His word? Would you be that man, that woman on a mission tonight? Would you come to Christ? Don't complicate the gospel. Don't try to reason it out in your mind. Just repent and believe the gospel tonight. You come to Christ, He'll save you. You come to Christ tonight, He'll turn your life around. You will be born again. Take God at His word tonight. Don't doubt Him. Trust Him. He must be born again. Not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. A man was sitting on a tree and reading his Bible, and sitting close to him was an atheist. An atheist was very annoyed, as they often are, because this Christian was reading his Bible. And the atheist turned to the Christian and he said, "You don't believe everything in that Bible that you read, do you?" The Christian turned to him and he said, "Sir, to be honest, there are some things I find hard to believe." And the atheist says, "Yeah, I told you so." The Christian man turned to the atheist and said, "I'll tell you what is the hardest thing for me to believe. It's the words of John 3:16, that God would love a sinner like me, that He sent His Son into this world to save me from sin that I might not perish." He said, "I find that hard to believe, but I receive it." Because some years ago, by faith, I experienced the new birth. Christ came and saved my soul. Nicodemus was a man on a mission. He wanted to find out more. That night he found out he was a sinner. That law that he knew so much about condemned him for his sin. But that night he found out as well about a Savior who is able to save from sin. He was a man on a mission. Oh, tonight would you get to Christ? May it be said of you, even as it was said of Nicodemus, that he came to Jesus. Would you come to Jesus tonight? Will you come to Jesus Christ tonight? Leave your sin behind. Come. Receive and believe. Because you must be born again. May you be that man or woman on a mission tonight. May you get to Christ. And may you do it now. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this evening. We thank Thee, Lord, for this story of Nicodemus. We thank Thee, Lord, for that conversation that You had with him. And, O God, we pray that tonight You'd speak into the hearts of darkened sinners in this meeting tonight in Sandown. O God, we pray You'll reveal Thyself to them. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll reveal their sin and you will reveal thyself as their only Savior. And Lord, that this night someone will come to Christ by night. Answer prayer. Give that help that is needed. And write thy word upon our hearts. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with the singing of the words of hymn number 232. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long as he called thee in vain, he called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn, while the Savior in mercy is waiting. 232 will stand as we sing this closing hymn, please. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night.
How do you know? How do you know? Your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Therefore, you need to come to Him. Come to Him. Speak to us as you leave. Stay behind. Come to Christ. Come now. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We ask, O God, that tonight by the Holy Spirit You'll apply the Word to every heart. Lord, that someone tonight would come to Christ. Answer a prayer for us. Part us in the fear and the blessing of Almighty God. We pray, Lord, You'll come. Lord, even as we would travel home, keep us safe. Lord, we pray most of all that this night someone will come to Christ. Answer prayer and go with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.